Thanks for sticking with us through bottom of the hour news break. We have to do that every hour, top and bottom. That's just the way it is in the nature of the talk radio platform. So let's get back to good news, like growing your and understanding what it. What'd you say? An old world
growth,
old
food
growth.
Forest. It's just something I've recently discovered. There's this guy named Zach Doakes who has been writing about it out there. And it's a new term. When you do a search for old growth food forest on the internet, there's not much there about it. It's up and coming thing. And basically what it means is that I have been planting a particular kind of seed here at the Urban Farm for over 30 years. It's called an open pollinated seed. They're not hybrids, and I let things go to seed. So at any given moment, I have 5, 10, 15, 30 different things that I can go out and pick like you would in a forest.
Oh.
So right now, the citrus is coming on right now. So we've got citrus, and we've got the cilantro that grows wild in my yard is just coming up along with lettuce. I have nasturtiums that are just coming in, the cowpeas and the sweet potatoes, and the Jerusalem artichokes are all at the end of their cycle. So these are all being harvested now. It's just, I live in a space at the Urban Farm that just grows food naturally like it would in nature. So I do have garden beds, but in a lot of my places, I just have stuff that comes up. I have tomatoes coming up on the back patio from seed.
And so you obviously have to let a certain amount of it go to seed. So
oh, yeah.
You're not ripping out the garden. Mm-mm. When you're done. You just let it, leave a couple left on there and let nature handle the rest.
Do what it does. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what, and it's a term that's up and coming, and there's a lot of people that are doing it. And basically I just let things grow in my yard.
And it's called a old growth forest?
Food forest.
Food forest. Old growth
food old forest. Growth food forest, yeah.
I like that. I'd like to get the melons because I've got I don't know, about an acre of the property we put an orchard in, and I'm trying to get watermelon and cantaloupe and honeydew and pumpkins to grow in the orchard and do that.
Just reseed themselves.
Uh-huh.
If you do that, you're going to have to leave some of them behind and let them rot in place or harvest the seeds and spread the seeds yourself.
Yeah. I've just got to figure out the watering situation because I can't I can't irrigate that whole area constantly.
Right.
So it's got to be like around, the drip emitters where it would share with the tree, but it needs more. Anyway, that's a different story.
So in designing, what we're supposed to be talking about today is designing your food forest, I think. That's what the topic was, right?
Edible landscape, that's a food forest, sure.
Yeah, it is. So we'll actually be doing some tours of my old growth food forest here in February, March, and April. If anybody wants to see it, you can visit urbanfarm.org for the tour information. But when you're designing your space, so I mentioned sweet potatoes, and Jerusalem artichokes. I also mentioned nasturtiums and cilantro. And those are two different kinds of plants. The Jerusalem artichokes and the sweet potatoes are perennials of sorts. So what they do is they leave their bulbs. If we don't harvest all the sweet potatoes or Jerusalem artichokes out of the ground, Jerusalem artichoke is like a potato. It grows like a potato underground. So any that we leave behind, they come back up next year. So it's this automatic process where they come back year after year. And I call those, and it's not a true perennial. A true perennial is my fruit trees. I got about 40 of them on the property that make fruit for me year after year after year. But those root crops, I like to call them perennials because there's literally nothing for me to do and they come back on their own. And then the annuals are, the kales and lettuces and parsleys and all of that stuff, basil that just automatically comes up every year.
Comes up. I mean, we had to plant them once.
We had, yes, exactly. Exactly. I planted them once.
You got to cultivate, you got to do your soil,
Right. It goes recipe. To seed. Yep. Goes to seed, makes seed, plants seeds, starts the whole process over again. It's really quite cool.
And you've said before, you're a lazy gardener, and this is a, you know, a great way to not have to do it.
Right. This is the ultimate in lazy gardening. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Here, what you have to think of, though, think of your yard. It's your yard is a whole system. It's a whole natural system. So you can't dissect it and pull it apart. You have to think of it as a whole system. And taking that further, you kind of have to take your neighborhood as a whole system, because there's incoming stuff, water and some pollution and stuff that you have to kind of pay attention to. And if you're going organic and the people next door are spraying for bugs, that, you know, those are the kinds of things as a whole system perspective that you have to pay attention to. And then what you have to do, the next step is making sure that you know that my yard is different than your yard, and we live across town, but my yard is also different than the neighbors a little bit, you know, the next door neighbor. So really what I suggest that people do is they start slow, experiment, and do a little bit of a time, be successful. Because, you know, I've seen people that totally jump in, right? They jump in 1,000% and they buy 50 fruit trees from me. In fact, I got a phone call this week from a guy who bought 250 fruit trees, not from me. He bought 250 fruit trees, and he sent me a picture of the place that he wants to plant them. And I'm just shaking my head.
Not enough space.
It's right out in the middle of the desert. Right out in the middle of the desert in a wash. So, you know, the first flood that comes through, it's going to wash away the trees. And being right out in the middle of the desert, there's javelina, there's deer, they're, you know, they're going to come along and eat them. So starting small is what I always, always recommend. Plant one or two or three trees, plant a small garden, start small. It's, you know, you're going to be a lot better off in the long term.
And the best way to start small is buy the most expensive thing in the store that you can grow at home.
Oh.
That's a great way to start small.
Well, especially if you're on a limited budget, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We're talking herbs, folks. Absolutely.
And he's kidding. And the simple, you said herbs, the simplest thing to grow and the most expensive thing to buy are herbs. So if you have a 5-foot by 5-foot plot in your yard, 25 square feet, you can actually grow a fair amount of food in that space.
It's amazing how much food, you know, the smallest plant can produce, and how little we really need once you start putting it in perspective and growing it yourself.
Right. Yeah, I've said for years that lack only lives one place on the planet, between our ears. Because when I look at the abundance in my yard, I'm getting ready to harvest citrus. I have 14 navel or navel-like oranges on my property. Most of them I eat myself. I'm probably over the course of the next 4 months going to harvest 400 pounds of citrus. Again, most of it that I'll eat myself, because I love citrus. There's no lack there. I have an apple tree in my backyard that I harvested 250 pounds of apples off this last season.
Wow.
That's a crazy amount of apples.
And apple pies, too. Apple tarts. Yeah. Ooh.
Apple chips. I dehydrate it, and then I make every other year or so I make apple sauce, because Heidi uses it in recipes instead of butter. Works really great.
Apple butter.
And you can make apple butter.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes. Apple butter Pop-Tart. You haven't lived. Yeah.
Right.
And I was looking it up real quick. I wanted to make sure that they were still around. Before I mention anything, but you were talking about, you know, you and Gary were talking about herbs. Your great growing for those herbs is a product called Flower Street Urban Gardens. And they have the coolest, you know, rolling racks, or they mount against your wall or a fence right outside your window. Just look at FlowerStreetUrbanGardens.com.
Yes.
and you'll see. I mean, you don't even use up any of your landscape in this process.
Right. I love what Alex does. In fact, we should get him on the show as one of our guests one of these times. He's a rock star. I love what he has put together.
And I'm looking through his gallery. He's even got one where he's got like a little rock cactus succulent garden. Somebody's growing. I hadn't seen that before. That's a nice sharp look.
And I know he works with, D-backs, and they're doing community gardens with them. And yeah, what Flower Street, man, what they're doing is rocking.
So, and we have had Alex on, but it's been a long time. So it's due time. Yeah. We'll work on
that. Yeah. All right. Love it.
So anyway, back to our talking points as we're winding through the end of our third segment and all of our bunny trails. I think lasagna gardening would be a great lead-in from this conversation.
Very good. So lasagna gardening, or what we in permaculture called sheet mulching, there is a book out there on the market called Lasagna Gardening. It's basically a quick way to build healthy soil. Now, when I say quick, I mean 6 months, not 6 minutes. And what you do is you put down a layer of, in the past I've used alfalfa hay. You have to be really careful about straw that you're using. If you're using straw, make sure that it's not Bermuda straw. Because they bale Bermuda and there's seeds in there. So if you're getting straw, make sure you're getting wheat straw or you're getting alfalfa. And I just fluff it up in the space and I put down about a six inch layer. And you can use leaves, you know, raked up leaves from your yard. You put down about 6 inches of this stuff fluffed. And then you get some manure. I happen to use my chicken manure and I just take a shovelful and I kind of spread it loosely, a shovelful over the 6 inch layer that you have there. And then you put another 6 inch layer down. And then you put a little bit more manure and then you put another 6 inch layer down and you put down more manure. So you've got this sheet mulch bed that is 20, 24, 36 inches thick that is fluffed from leaves and stuff. And what happens over the course of 6 months is it breaks down into this, you know, this 3 inch layer of absolutely amazing soil.